determines the purpose and means for processing personal information. So it's to some extent a data processor. So it's not your private citizen. It's the people who are taking the, collecting the information. Let me finish. So what it's saying is 8 to 24 apply to the responsible party. If you don't have it, then it's who does this apply to? And they basically must comply with these requirements.
And so you're not answering my question. Perhaps I'm not being clear. My question is, what are those requirements?
8, 9, 10, 11.
Okay. Then, if I read 10, I know exactly what the requirements is. I can tell you what I need to do and what isn't. So with 11, and so on and so forth. Now, if 7, 8, and 9 only intend to embody what is provided for in 10, 12, and so on and so forth, then that's fine. And all they need to say, 7 is to say, a responsible party must ensure compliance with the measure that that give effect to this act, must ensure compliance with this act. That's the obligation. A responsible party must ensure
compliance with sections 8 to 24.
Exactly, with this act, with what is written here. But you're referring me to a principle.
No, Mario, we're dropping principles.
Okay. It's just the point. So that needs to go out. Now, 8 also needs to go out, because it is the act that brings about the non-infringement on the privacy of the data subject. It's the act which sets the parameters of legality. Again, 9, it is the act which makes sure that the purpose, 9 we can discuss it, but surely 7 and 8 cannot have any greater meaning than say, data processor, you're responsible for compliance with this act. That's all.
Or what I would see is 7 is the clause directed at the responsible party. It takes the database process. So that clause is necessary. The changes to the principles is not necessary, and that's where the confusion might come in. But what 7 should be saying is the responsible party needs to comply with the clause of 8 to 24. That's what 7 is about.
To that, I think it's actually really important because remember we have the information cycle, and there are, as Marcus said, there are different responsible parties throughout that cycle. And by saying what we are actually saying here, if we read it with the definition says alone or in conjunction with others. Now that's very important because, say, for instance, say the credit bureau, credit industry. If you go to the bank and you ask for a loan and they collect your information, so the bank is the credit provider, is one responsible party. Then the bank sends the information to the credit bureau, that's the second responsible party. Then the credit bureau sends it to another institution, whatever. In the end, you may have 5 responsible parties there. Now you have a problem. Where do you go? Do you go to the bank? That information is now in computer systems. If you go to the bank, they say, I collected it correctly, you must go and ask the credit bureau. If you go to the credit bureau says, no, I received the information, it was wrong when I received it from the bank. And you have to go to different people to try and understand what's going on. And that's why the Act closes that loophole, and it says all of those people, they must between themselves contractually or whatever.
Where does it say so?
Because that's what the definition says. It says the definition of responsible party is alone or in conjunction with others. So
no, I agree, but that's already there. Why do we need...
Now it says in 7, it's who. 7 answers the question, who is responsible? The responsible
party. Yeah,
I agree. And then you look to that and they are responsible for these principles.
Yes. No, but not. Why for the principles?
Oh, not principles. I mean,
okay,
the provisions
for
conditions.
Okay,
agreed.
All right. So then, can we move to 8?
Well, same as above with French fries.
Then 8 is then a specific. Mario's point is it doesn't say anything. I think the issue would be, is there any harm in it?
Well,
this information would be processed off the end of the reasonable manner that does not infringe on privacy of the
doctor. Which is the same as Steven said. The problem is that when the interpreter interprets it, the rule of interpretation is that if 7 and 8 mean the same thing...
7 is saying you must comply with all these provisions.
Yes, which is...
That's the general entry clause.
Yes, and those provisions... Those
provision is saying...
Yeah.
The person's information lawfully and in a reasonable manner that does not infringe on the privacy of the person. I think it's saying different.
Well, but isn't this act, 7 says comply with this act, isn't this act the parameter?
We're saying 7 is now going to say the responsible party must ensure that the sections 8-24 are complied with.
Yeah, but so who does 8 speak to? I understood that 8...
responsible party.
Exactly. So it doesn't apply to anyone but the responsible party, and so does 7. However, 8 doesn't refer to a responsible party. First of all, it's drafted in a funny way because it doesn't know who it speaks to. Technically
let's
speaking,
say you've got 7, which
says exactly. Okay, but look at 8. 8 speaks to the personal information. That's the funny thing. It's an order given to personal information. you are reading it as an order given to the responsible party. You know, I could read it as an order given to the data subject. So when you write legislation, it should be A shall do B. If 7 says the responsible party shall comply with this act, and 8 and the act sets the parameter of legality as well as the parameter of reasonableness in order to protect the infringement of the right to privacy, then 7 and 8 are the same.
I think Ananda alluded to it when she pointed to that processing chain, because 7 talks about the responsible party must ensure. So must ensure can include ensuring that the operator, for instance, complies with the provisions of this chapter. So ensuring that the operator complies with those provisions can be achieved in one way by getting into contracts into agreements with the operator to ensure that those these principles or these provisions are complied with. So it is to ensure that whoever in that chain get to process the information complies with this provision.
No, but this
so
is not
only that.
Nothing to do with the point before us. The point before us is why do we need 8? Agreed, 7 is rephrased means the responsible party show. Yeah, but can we get an answer? Okay.
I don't understand you understand what you're saying.
I think 7 says who is responsible. 8 says how must that responsible person process the information lawfully and in a reasonable manner. Now, strictly speaking, I suppose 8 would not be necessary because everything else that comes after 8 is really giving flesh to what 8 says. But in all the pieces of legislation in the world, that is actually principle number 1. And even if you look at the UK, that's principle 1, and then schedule 2 talks about how principle 1 should be interpreted, schedule 3 says how it should be interpreted. So it's a very important, it sort of encompasses everything that the legislation says. But if you want to, you can take it out. But it's the basic principle of the basic. But it's definitely different because the one is who and the other is how.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you could combine the two, put the two together. Okay, responsible parties ensure that clauses are sections are complied with in a lawful and security yard. You could put the two together.
What do you mean by lawful? I know exactly. I mean,
I think in for instance, the UK Act principle 7 or clause 7 is in 4.4, section 4.4.
Yeah, but I don't.
And then 8 is principle 1. So you find the same wording in all the different pieces of legislation, but it is.
Okay.
It's not necessarily that it should be done exactly in the format that it is here, but you find it everywhere.
I don't particularly care about how it's done anywhere else. I mean, that doesn't exempt him from my responsibility or understanding what it is that we are adopting. And I need to understand what lawful means. If lawful means in everything which is contained in this act, we don't need it. If you need something more, can somebody tell me what it means? What is the more? I'm a guy who's trying to comply here, as everyone will. One wants to go by the book, do what the book requires, and you can't expect me to come up with something more. And this is the difficulty. This is already a very big book. I gave you the 17 pages of law that one needs to comply with.
Earlier was he wanted to link the implementation of the principle, like that Hank's one or no, and Andrew's one. I don't think he needs to do that. So it's the question I suppose would be, if one takes out, 7 is not a principle. I know you've got a principle of accountability, but it's basically who must follow this, the responsible party. And the two principles are the lawfulness and fairness. You've dropped fairness from the UK Act, and about the other one, and reasonableness. Should one not go back to the provision that I was raising this morning and having a section on the principle and then separating them from implementation, the application number.
I think if we can just go through all of them and then come back to this again, I think we can just park this one because it is generally accepted that 8 is not a rule, if you want to, it's a principle. But it usually, how to explain it is to say that it sets the tone for the legislation. So So it isn't meant to be, you know, it's just what it's meant to be. So it can be taken out, or it can be put as a principle somewhere else. It's not a problem. So, but minimality, I think, no, actually, I don't think that is, because that is giving you specific instructions. It must be adequate, relevant, and not excessive. So you cannot, if I need the information, say for instance that advertisement that we saw this morning, it was not necessary to ask people for their ID numbers and all of that, because what the newspaper wanted was the information as to how many people like this, that, or the other. It wasn't necessary, so it would have been quite adequate to ask them just to give the information without even providing the personal information. And that's what it means. If you cannot, they always have this cartoon that says, oh, let's get all the information, we'll decide to do what we'll do with it later. You can't do that. You can't just get all the information that you possibly can and then decide what you're going to do with it. You must know exactly what you need, and you can only ask that. Because it's also a way of protecting people, in the sense that if you have the less information that you keep,
on the validity of the principle, and I don't know whether I'm here to legislate or to abide by legislative requirements of the EU, so I don't want the response in terms of that's what the EU wants. I mean, why don't we just join the EU? But at the time where people are trying to get out. But going back to the cartoon, we live a cartoon, the one she was referring to when you were not listening. We live in an age in which, yes, we do acquire all the information, and then we decide what to do with it and what we need. It is only with the benefit of all the information that we decide what we need and what we don't need. So it's this notion, again, the chilling effect on society and the world we live in. The principle should be freedom of information. Privacy is the exception. The personal information may only be processed if, given the purpose for which it is processed, it is adequate, relevant, and non-excessive. This doesn't exactly say get the minimum you can. I'm concerned, and I didn't read it as such, but I'm concerned that Ananda will translate it as such, get the bare minimum necessary, or use the bare minimum necessary with information. It's something that I would eliminate.
Just recently I had a car accident, so I got an insurance claim form, and they asked me to give permission for them to do the whole criminal investigation, look into my criminal record and so on, which I thought was completely excessive. Nobody was injured, there was no question of a criminal offense or anything like that, so they got it just in case. And they could have used it. And I had no way of saying no, because I needed to process my claim. Mm-hmm. So I do think they need to do some kind of check.
Look, I'm not against the consistency, if you're clear where I'm coming from. I'm not against the nine. Okay? It's a question of how does it fit in. That's the difficulty. Should it be in the, I'm not saying it should be there, should it be in a principal section, or should it be in an implementation or second or applicability section? Mark, you finished.
I just want to agree and disagree with Mario on a couple of points. First of all, the bill is not intended to restrict flows of information. It is intended to regulate information. Why has that regulation become necessary? We have an age-old right of privacy, which we protected jealously in legislators before your time and before the library was burnt down, Mario, who looked after the privacy of people in the physical world. We are now in a time where, because of the changes in the nature of the way that we're processing information, abuses are occurring, and this is not to try and create new rights. It is merely to try and ensure that we maintain a balance of privacy, because the abuse around the informational privacy has occurred at this time. So I think we've got to be careful in saying that the default is that we can have as much information as we like, and then we decide how we're going to use it after the fact. I think that that's a really, really dangerous statement to make. And I think that at the end of the day, part of what we have to appreciate here is that if we are going to be processing information around the minimality principle and incorporate that with the purpose principle, that's when you start actually being able to protect the proliferation of information. Whether we'll ever protect it adequately, I don't know. But the fact of the matter is a lot of information, because of the proliferation, is being subject, because of the different ways we're dealing with information, is being subject to abuses that they were never subject to previously, for reasons of cost, for reasons of portability, etc. So the issue of minimality, if I read the issues around this correctly, is to try and prevent people just gathering huge swaths of information and then cutting and dicing it and using it as they want, despite the fact that it's been actually initially collected for a particular purpose. And you've got to also look at the further processing principle in that context. So I think that minimality is actually a fairly important issue. And the point that has just been raised around motor car accidents, etc., we know that we are asked to give huge amounts of information, which is just not necessary in a lot of circumstances. And what it does is it applies the mind of the responsible party to starting to ensure that they collect information which is relevant.
May I draw my attention to my suggested amendment, because I think it addresses both issues. Does anyone have a copy? No. It's nice to do all this work. Well, because it's the bill. I'll carry them for you next time you get tired. My suggested amendment was, unless authorized under the law or objectively necessary for the completion of the transaction concerned, no one shall be required to provide or disclose personal information as a condition for the completion of a transaction or the receipt of a benefit. Now, the issue is needs to be protected on the side of the right to privacy and not forcing people to disclose information that they don't have to. We are postulating the existence of the right to privacy because it is written in the Constitution. But the Constitution doesn't tell us what the right to privacy is. It says that there is a right to privacy. And that if we went through the exercise of taking half an hour aside and writing on a piece of paper what we think the constitutional right to privacy entails, we will all come with a different reading. And we have had this discussion in the past of having to have a provision which embodies the right of privacy. The constitutional right will remain larger and broader and will not exhaust it. But for purposes of personal information, I think that that's important. And this is where this bill is deficient. It deals on how to deal with information, but it doesn't create a statutory protection to the right of keeping the information in, to the right of saying no, to the right of closing that curtain that I've often referred to. And then I'm very strong. But once we protect the individual and his right to say no, Christine's right to say no, then on the other side, we live in an information society. And anyone who's done any research in any field knows that the academic method, the research method, is exactly that of gathering everything, even in litigation. One goes in fishing expeditions and gets information, and until you got the information, you don't know what you need and what you don't need. So my suggestion is to use the space that would be offered by NINE to have something that could read right of privacy, or you can call it strengthening of the right of privacy, or you can call it specific enunciation of the right of privacy. But along the line, I'm suggesting that if it's not necessary to the transaction you're involved in, you have the right to say no. And it's not just the insurance company. We discussed, whenever I go to a hotel, I will not be allowed to check in unless I tell where I'm coming from, where I'm going to, all those funny questions, where I'm residing. And that's no longer in the law. It used to be in the Aliens Control Act. We have eliminated it. So there is no legal requirement, but hotels still do that. And when I challenge them, say it's our policy, and you get this policy, and unless I have a statutory right to say, sorry, your policy infringes on my rights, if everything else we're doing is useless.
Five minutes, please.